Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we look ahead to the Donegal Armagh All-Ireland qualifier clash with Donegal boss Declan Bonner and 92 All-Ireland winner Tony Boyle. Maxi Curran speaks to us ahead of Saturday's Ladies All-Ireland opener against Waterford. In our Donegal rally preview, we're joined by two former winners of the national and international events in David Bogey and Gareth McHale. And we'll be discussing John Kelly's latest throw, which earned him a podium, a medal and a new Ulster record in Norway with Patsy McGonigal. But first up, it's the ladies of Donegal who start their All-Ireland Championship this coming weekend. There's two group games with Waterford and Cork on the schedule in the coming weeks. There's a trip to Burr and Offaly on Saturday evening for a meeting against Waterford in a double-header bill along with Kerry and Galway, who are playing in the second game. Donegal enter the series after losing the Ulster final to Armagh. Maxi Curran has been telling Tom Comack this week that that game is done and his side is geared up for the next phase of the championship.
It was a hugely disappointing day out. There's no two ways about it, you know. It was a game we felt we had a great chance of winning going into the game. And as the game transpired, I think we were in a good position twice and we just let the thing go, and look, that's hugely disappointing, but look, it's in the past now, and we just got to get geared up for an onslaught of the All-Ireland.
Yeah, and obviously playing in a group along with Cork and Waterford, two games, you have to win one, haven't you, to make the quarterfinals?
The top two in each group will make the quarterfinals. Hey, look, you'd be fierce and lucky if you didn't qualify one in one game, but look, the objective is to obviously go and win the two, you know, the prize for coming second is a quarter final with Dublin, so that's probably one you'd rather avoid if you can. But no, look, it's a big ask. Waterford are a very seasoned outfit. They're the only Division One team that's landed themselves in the third tier of teams in the group's draw. So that in itself presents a difficult challenge for us. But look, I say it's one that look we feel we're up to, and we're looking forward to getting started on Saturday.
And have you left the Ulster final defeat behind you, or is that something you only find out on Sunday?
I think that's something you only find out. But listen, we've had, you know, it's 3 weeks ago now. It's long enough in the distant past, and you know, these girls have lost big games before, and they've bounced back. You know, and as I say, you know, the side of the draw that we ended up on now, having lost the match, is probably on paper more favourable than the one we would have landed on had we won the game. So, you know, with that in mind, it's a, you know, every cloud is a silver lining, and you've got to take the positives from it. And I think all in all, I think we've come out of it quite well. You know, we were very much in control in that Ulster final, and we played a lot of the football and had some glorious chances to win the game, and we're very much to blame ourselves for not winning it. So, you know, with all that in mind, you know, there's an awful lot of positives, and, you know, a little bit of naivety and a bit of cuteness is, you know, it's probably the main reason we didn't win the game. So we're hopeful that we can, you know, learn from that and be better for the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, and as we mentioned already, it's Waterford on Sunday or Saturday down in Burr. And you mentioned, obviously, they're a Division 1 team. They only survived in Division 1 in a relegation playoff with Westmeath. They haven't had the greatest run this year, have they?
Well, look, you know, the nature of the league this year for the ladies competition, there were four teams in each group, and you know, the three teams above them were Cork, Dublin and Meath, so they're probably 1, 2 and 3 in the All-Ireland pecking order. So, you know, I don't think there's any shame in Waterford coming fourth in that group. And then, you know, they done what they had to do. They beat Westmeath in the playoff, which guaranteed them Division 1 for next year. So, you know, as I say, I don't think there's any shame to be taken in that. They lost their Munster semi-final, Cork as well, which, you know, we all know how good Cork are. So, with that, I don't think they'll be running scared in Waterford either. You know, I think they'll be happy enough with how their season has gone, you know, all things considered. And look, they're going to present a very difficult challenge. Us, they're a very pacey team, very fast running team, because there's plenty of bother in the past.
Yeah, and in terms of personnel, are there certain personnel or personal sectors of the field that worry you?
Look, there would be a very good outfit. you know, they're a real strong running team, and they're very, very tough all over the field, and you know that itself would, you know, will cause bother for us. You know, they're a team that don't kick the ball very much, so that's something that we need to get our head around. You know, Armagh would have kicked a lot of balls to their inside forward line and present a different challenge, but look, again, it's about adapting, and I think we are able to do that.
Yeah, and then it's Cork the following weekend in Clane.
We play Cork following Clane in County Kildare, so yeah, look, another big challenge, but look, it's one day at a time, and we just got to take this one and try and deal with this one now for this weekend.
Personnel-wise, we know Karen Guthrie missed the first round of the championship. She came back in the last day. Is she fitting well again?
Yeah, look, we're hoping Karen will play some part again, you know, sort of miles on the clock, and you know, you have to bear that in mind. But yeah, look, we're hopeful Karen will be around for the weekend as well. Yeah, we'll get through the Ulster final pretty much unscathed. So look, all hands to the pump now, just for us.
Yeah. And in terms of the game, it's your best shot at that one win, isn't it?
It is 100%. You know, that's where it's at for us. You know, and it's a massive game. You take one game at a time. But you know, I think if we happen to go over Waterford on Saturday, it'll set us up well for the Cork game. It'll be no mean challenge either, getting over Waterford. Just say they're a very pacey team. Something that causes, you know, a lot of teams ball that running game into these football, especially the pace they have. So, I think look, we'll be better for it. We'll have Ulster final out of the system if we get over the line on Saturday as well. So, it'll set us up nicely for the Cork game.
That's Donegal senior ladies manager Maxi Kern. That game starts in Birr at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and we will have updates here in Highland from Tommy Devan. The other Northwest counties are also in championship action this weekend, both on Sunday in the intermediate Group D round 3. Tyrone are off to Laois, and in the junior championship second round Group A, Derry are playing host to Carlow. Both of those games start at 2 o'clock. Moving on to the men's football, and Donegal have parked their Ulster final defeat to Derry and now look to progress in the All-Ireland series with a meeting against Armagh in round 2 of the qualifiers in Clonus on Sunday. That, of course, is our feature game this weekend. Joining me on commentary will be Martin McHugh, and we'll have the build-up and then the full match live as from the 4 o'clock throw-in at the Monaghan venue. A place in the quarter-finals is, of course, up for grabs as Donegal and the Orchard men lock horns once again. Donegal have already beaten Armagh twice this year, in the league in Letterkenny and in the Ulster Championship in Ballybuffet. The Ulster campaign, and in particular the Ulster final, was sore on the players. Manager Declan Bonner has been telling us this week that they have responded well in preparing for the All-Ireland series. So Declan, time to get refocused again. The All-Ireland Championship gets up and running for Donegal against Armagh on Sunday. The Ulster final, I'm sure, would have taken its toll on the body of the players. How are you fixed on the injury front ahead of the game this Sunday in Clonus?
Yeah, listen, we're not too bad at the minute. Actually, we still have a session to get over, but the majority of guys will come back in. There's one or two that we're just hoping on now to come through, but they would know more in the next 24, 48 hours. But no, came through all right, naturally. But, physically, it was demanding, but also mentally draining. But listen, as I say, we got back in towards the end of last week, and you know, to focus firmly once we got a draw on Monday morning against Armagh. So the minds were firmly focused on Armagh.
Yeah, what was your initial thoughts when the draw was made on Monday, Declan?
I felt watching Armagh throw last week that there's a possibility, a big possibility, that we were going to get drawn against one of them. But from an early stage that game, you know, you just felt Armagh were a better side on the day, and you know, produced a big performance to win it. So I had a feeling it would be Armagh. So we know each other well. We've a league encounter in O'Donnell Park and a championship match in McCool Park not that long ago. So yeah, it's going to be another tough match. But listen, it's one that, as I said, we could refocus very quickly on, and looking forward to now.
Yeah, are you expecting a different type of game this coming Sunday to that of the Ulster final, Declan?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you know, a lot was made of the Ulster final. That, you know, it was the way the game was, but. It will be different. There's no doubt. Every game takes on a, you know, you have to watch what you're playing or who you're playing against, and then you play that. But I think, listen, it's you know, on our last Sunday against Tyrone, were very, very good. They have a lot of good attacking players, and as I say, they put a lot of pressure on Tyrone and a lot of physicality. So yeah, listen, it should be make for a good game of football on Sunday. You know.
Yeah, just maybe Declan, on reflection, if I can go back to that Ulster final, it's done now, didn't go the way of Donegal. It was a very, very cagey affair, very much cat and mouse. Maybe the way Donegal played the game that day, and Derry have done it so often, and Donegal changed things up, maybe on reflection, did it play into Derry's hands on that day in Clonus?
No, I wouldn't agree. Oh, Shane, I think, you know, the way the game went was, you know, exactly, it's probably what we saw coming, that, you know, that game was always going to go down the straight. We've seen them last year, you know, a very, very tight game, and we got over the line with a late score. Watched them twice this year in the Championship, watched them in the league, and, you know, especially those two games in the Championship against Tyrone and Monaghan. And you know, they beat they won those games pretty convincingly, and we felt it was always going to go down the final straight. It's always going to be a game of small margins, and in that, you know, the biggest disappointment for us and for management and players as a group is that, you know, when we were 2 points up into that last 10 minutes, that we didn't kick on, and that was a disappointment. But the way the game was going, it was always going to be so claustrophobic and so tight that we expected that, but. Yeah, disappointing, naturally enough, that we didn't kick on after going 2 points up, you know, going into the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and obviously we know, Declan, different games to go on, have different plans and live different lives, and obviously there was a huge shift put in by everybody on that occasion, because it's a long day, particularly when you go to extra time on Ulster final day. Maybe if we look at the likes of Michael Murphy, Donegal captain, who was pulling the strings from the middle of the park and trying to create things, but maybe if he was on the edge of the square, Declan, would it possibly have made a difference on that occasion?
I don't think so. I mean, it's always going to be you're battling against 14 Derry defenders in that area majority of the game, so it's going to be very, very difficult to get the ball in, number one. And as I said, it was always going to be a really game of small margins. We missed a number of opportunities in the first half that we'd normally score. The goal was disappointing from our point of view to concede. It was a poor goal defensively from us. But, no, we got our break early in the second half, and with our own McFadden Ferry's goal. And as I say, going into that last 10 minutes when I think Jason kicked us two up, we had an opportunity, I think, nearly to go three up, and we didn't take that. And then we conceded two really poor scores in terms of a free, and, you know, got caught on a short kick out with Stephen. But listen, as I said, these are games of small margins, and as I said, it went into extra time, and, you know, Derry went on to win it. And,
Yeah, and I don't think, Declan, much was made of it at the end of the game, but Donegal could have had two penalties in those closing stages. The first possible out for the tackle in Ryan McHugh, and the second, Michael's free right at the death, because it looked to me as if the players, they weren't actually back on the line when they should have been, Declan, and under the rules, that's not allowed.
Yeah, listen, you can look at that there again, but listen, no, we just, as I said, we took it and we accepted it, and it's never easy. Ulster finals are any championship defeats, it's difficult, to be quite honest, and, you know, none more so than Ulster final defeat. I've been involved in teams that have lost, I've been involved in teams that have won, both playing and managing it. Not an easy place, not a nice place to be in, and the losers rest and come on Ulster final day, but listen, we've got to dust ourselves down, and we did that last week, and as I say, we got back into it, and as I say, the Ulster final's gone now, and we move on, and we're back to Clonus this Sunday, and it's going to be a huge occasion, and, you know, a huge opportunity for the whole group, but it's going to be a real tough challenge.
Yeah, massive opportunity. The carrot at the end of it is a place in the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Series, and obviously, Declan, you'll be hoping for a big support to get behind the team this coming weekend in Clonus.
It will be, Oisín, and we have a good core. I mean, a really, really good core of Donegal supporters that travel everywhere. You know, we were outnumbered, no doubt, and Clonus last day out against Derry. You know, this time around, you can expect there's going to be ending up to 10,000 Armagh supporters going to Clonus, so it's important from a Donegal perspective we get there and support the team. That's going to be huge, because, you know, this game will go down the final straight, I've no doubt about that there, and you know, the supporters can play their part in that too. But yeah, as I say, looking forward to it, Oisín, and as I say, looking forward to maybe hopefully to be a big Donegal crowd up there watching us on Sunday.
Yeah, just finally then, Declan, it's currently 2-0 to Donegal over Armagh. Those previous games this year, will they have any factor in the tie at all this weekend?
None at all. It's a new game. It's listen, you know, watching Armagh last week, as I say, they have probably had their 5-6 week break now, and they're back at it again, and they were impressive against Tyrone last Sunday. We're on the back of a 2 week break, as I say, getting ready to go into battle. It's going to be an intriguing 75 minutes, there's no doubt, you know, but there's a huge card, as you rightly said, for us to be in the draw next Monday morning for the last eight, and, you know, that's where we hope to be.
There you go. That's Donegal senior manager Declan Bonner looking ahead to that game against Armagh. Let's now hear from a man that won the All-Ireland in 92 alongside Declan. That's Dunloe's Tony Boyle. He's been telling Tom Comack that there is enough experience in the Donegal squad to bounce back from that defeat.
Well, Tony, first of all, delighted you could join us tonight. First, what did you make of the draw when you heard it on Monday morning, Donegal versus Armagh?
I suppose, Tom, it was probably half expected. That seems the way that, draws have gone lately, that those two teams in the back door seem to come up against each other. But listen, from a Donegal point of view, it's probably the toughest draw you could get. I'd imagine Armagh are probably looking forward to it after their performance against us in Balbuffet. But listen, from a Donegal point of view, I think it's, you know, it's probably in one sense a good result or a good draw, because listen, they know what they're up against. They've seen Armagh last week, and they know it's going to be a tough challenge, and it's up to them now to step up to the mark come Sunday.
Obviously, great disappointment all through the county and through the squad as well. And I know from speaking to Declan Bonner immediately after the game, deep disappointment at the result of the Ulster final, maybe, and at the performance as well. Is it difficult in your experience to lift a team again, or to lift yourself again once you suffer a defeat like that?
Yeah, it absolutely is, Tom. You know, I think it's even more difficult when it's an Ulster final. I think it's a wee bit easier maybe if you're knocked out in the early stages of Ulster. You have a wee bit more time to regroup and you look at the end of the All-Ireland series. But for the Donegal squad management, you know, it's probably the manner of the defeat in the Ulster final against Derry, you know, where they know. Listen, at times they performed, everyone knew they would probably mirror what Derry were going to do for a certain amount of the match. But I suppose the disappointing thing is when we went 2 points up, you know, with 10 minutes to go, that we didn't try and kick on and close out the game. And, you know, that's going to be hard to come. That's going to be hard to come back from. But listen, they're an experienced bunch, and I know the way that, you know, the modern footballer looks at it. You have nearly, you know, they treat the All Ireland series completely different than the provincial championship. So listen, there's enough experience within that squad to bounce back, but it's going to be a big challenge on Sunday.
And Donegal at the moment are being accused of being very predictable. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I suppose that probably, hey Tom, that's probably the disappointing aspect of the Ulster final. You know, I thought they were very good against Armagh and Balbuffet, and I suppose, you know, probably Armagh came out of that game with under a lot of flack for their type of performance. But I thought we controlled the game, you know, for long spells of that. Obviously, we were a wee bit flat against Cavan, you know, which can be expected after a big performance, but it was still a game that I always expect us to win, and the boys got over the line with two late goals. But I think it was the disappointment of the performance and against Derry that, you know, as I said, we started very, very cagey, but we never got to the pitch of the game where we looked like we should be the experienced team carrying the game to Derry when we got them 2 points up. And that's probably the disappointing aspect of that Ulster final. And as I said, it's always disappointing losing an Ulster final. But listen, as I said, you know, these guys are experienced. You know, they look at the All-Ireland series as a completely different competition, and now they've got to really pick it up, and you know, they've a massive challenge ahead. But like, I still believe, you know, we showed against Armagh and Balbuffet that day that we can not alone match them, but we can control the game. Slightly different. We're coming in with very little momentum, whereas they're coming in with a lot of momentum after knocking out the All-Ireland champions. But it's still all to play for.
Yeah. And in terms of Armagh, did you get to see them at all at the weekend?
I did, Tom. Yeah, I got to see. We were travelling back from the Gaelic competition, but I got to see all of the first half and about 15 minutes of the second half. And I did, you know, to be honest, I thought Tyrone going into the match, you know, had something to prove. But bar the first 5-10 minutes, I thought I was very, very impressed with Armagh. You know, they more or less controlled that game after the first 10 minutes. And, you know, what I liked about them, they mixed a lot of short play, you know, when they had to keep it tight and when they had to run it, with a lot of long play as well, where they deliver the ball and long. A type of football, you know, that I'd love to see Donegal playing, because I think we have the players to do that. And that's something for, I suppose, the Donegal management to take on board for Sunday, that, you know, Armagh can play it both ways. But they tried to do that in Balbuffet, and we cope with it very well. Can we do it in Clones? That's the big question come Sunday.
Did Armagh show up better last week against Tyrone than they did in Ballybuffet?
I think they absolutely did. You know, I think they showed more hunger and aggression. I think coming out after Balba Fae, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, that Armagh brought, you know, they brought no aggression to, you know, to that game, and that was probably the most surprising thing and most disappointing thing for Kieran McGeaney. But you know, they seem to have regrouped, Tom, you know, over this last number of weeks, and obviously, you know, the Ireland champions, they would have been hurting after being beat by Derry, and you know, it was a game that could have went anyway, but you know, to be fair to Armagh, they completely dominated that game on Sunday, you know.
And of course, that game was in the Athletic Grounds, a ground they know well. Can they transfer it now to Clonus and the wide open spaces of St Chernock's Park? I suppose that's the big question.
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, I suppose the way a lot of Ulster games over this last number of years have been in Clonus. So, you know, the most counties are used to playing in Clonus. I suppose, listen, the big question, it's not what Armagh, you know, it's Donegal people. We're looking to see what this Donegal squad are going to bring to Sunday. And, you know, they've got to, you know, to me, the cautiousness that was in our play in Ulster final, I don't think that's not going to do Sunday, you know, because Armagh, as I said, can mix the, you know, they can keep it tight, they can play long ball, they can mix it, and I think we have the capacity to do that, but we didn't show it in the Ulster final, and I think we're going to have to show some of that on Sunday in order to try and get over this obstacle and get back into a quarter final.
Do you expect to see many changes or any changes in the team?
Listen, it's hard to know, Tom, because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, whether there's any lads carrying injuries. You know, obviously Kieran Thompson, probably people were wondering why he, you know, maybe wasn't starting because against a packed defence, you know, he has that in his locker that he can kick long range scores, you know, so I'm sure Kieran will be chomping at the bit. Again, listen, Declan probably has gone with the tried and trusted. I would imagine he'll do that again on Sunday. Whether Hugh will come back in from the start and around the middle and maybe hold Keelan, because I felt, you know, Keelan offered a lot coming off the bench against Cavan, whereas in from the start and that sort of dire struggle, and you know, it was like an arm wrestle, you know, Keelan didn't really get running and get into the spaces that we probably wanted him. So listen, I would imagine there'll be a few changes, but it'll probably all come down to, you know, the fitness of the squad.
One of Donegal's legends, Tony Boyle, speaking to Tom Comack ahead of Donegal against Armagh. 4:00 the start time once again in Clonus, and the match will be fully live here on Highland on Sunday afternoon. Just two other fixtures of note involving North West sides this weekend. It's the All-Ireland Minor Championship quarter-finals, Tyrone and Derry both in action. It's part of a double header down in Tullamore. Tyrone taking on Kerry in the first match at 4:00. And then Derry are up against Cork at 6:00. The club matches here in Donegal get up and running on a Friday night. There is championship games once again for the hurlers in the county. In the Senior Hurling Championship, latest games, we'll see Buncrana against Satanta, Bird play Carndonagh, Arua Ballyshannon are up against Sean McCools, and Dunlow will take on St Eunan's. While in the Junior Hurling Championship, St Eunan's play Bird, Four Masters take on McCools, and Letterkenny Gaels are playing Satanta. All those games start at 7:30 on Friday night. A couple of league matches as well on the football front. In Division 3 on Friday, St Eunan's play Neve Padraig Lifford, and in Division 4 it's Glen Swilly against Glen Finn, and Termon will play host to Sean McCools. There is a full programme of football club games across the four divisions then to be played on Saturday evening. No games on Sunday, of course, due to the Donegal men being in action. Let's turn our attention now to athletics. Patsy McGonigal joins us on the line to discuss a fine performance by a Donegal competitor this week. Finn Valley's John Kelly setting yet another Ulster shot put record. He claimed bronze as well in Norway. It's another Donegal record, another Ulster record for John Kelly. It also puts him in the top four throws ever from an Irish shot putter. An impressive performance by John last night in Norway, Patsy.
Oh, absolutely a brilliant performance, and maybe one of the better performances by a Donegal athlete over the years. You know, I mean, he's come from from being a young child prodigy in terms of throwing, winning all the Irish schools through the years, and you just wondered where it was going. And you know, that performance, you know, and with the big boys, really, in with the real key, some of the key throwers in Europe, in Bergen last night. It was a big throw in 1957. His previous would have been 1883 from Liera, from European Cup back in March. So, you know, he's put a meter nearly onto that. Look, it's a great story of a young fella that is pursuing performance. He went to Sweden. He joined up with a squad there that's probably one of the lead squads in the world in terms of throwing. He lived there. He's working there. He's following a dream of performance. And, you know, when it happens and when it all works out on a night like last night, you've just got to be so, so happy for him. I mean, you know, he was 18 months he lost there through injury. And to tell you the truth, Oisin, I was scared that he would never, ever, ever get back to throwing and to athletics again. But he worked at that as well, and he linked with the key people, and it has worked for him. So it was a really red letter night for him.
Yeah, big night for him. And listen, Patsy, can he go even better? Because can he make it into like the top two or the top three throwers of all time in Ireland?
Well, you know, suppose the question is, you know, if you were asking John Kelly today, can he? Yeah, the answer would be yes, he can. I mean, at a time some years ago, if you'd told me that he was throwing 19 metres plus, I would have wondered about it. Now he's throwing, you know, 19 and a half plus. Look, he's training. Again, he's with possibly the lead coach, throws coach in the world right now. And, you know, that's bound to push him on. And also the environment that he's in, you know, he's in with the Olympic champion. He's in with the style, the discus thrower. He's in with Thompson, who won that meet last night. You know, so he has engaged with the top guys. So his mentality and his strength work and his technique, everything is 100%. So yes, the answer to that question is yes, he can throw further. But he's still a developing athlete, and he will throw further, whether it's this year, next year, or whenever. But it's early in the season yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, what's next for John Kelly then, Patsy?
Well, he's going to have to try and just keep getting competitions up there in the north of Europe. There's plenty of throwing competitions. That's the big plus living up there. You know, he went into Bergen last night, and he'll go out down. He'll compete in Sweden in the next week or so, and at a venue in Sweden. So he's based in a place called Vaxholm, and he's based from there, and he travels from there. So he's in, as I say, and I said it earlier in the conversation, I think he's in the right environment. He couldn't be in a better situation, and we were very, very aware of that when he went out there. But he had the desire, and he had the willingness to go and leave home and do what he has done. So, you know, a great lot of credit goes for all his early career stuff and the support stuff to his family, John and Jacqueline, and of course his brother James is a big time thrower as well. So it's a lovely story.
Yeah. Just finally then, Patsy, what's on this weekend? What do we need to watch out for?
Well, we need to watch out for Mark English. He's in competition again this weekend in Westford. He's running over 800 metres. It's a good quality field. That'll be interesting. He's confirmed for Madrid as well on the 18th. And, you know, he's gearing for Oregon. So that's the World Championships. So it's all preparation for that. And he got a great start to the season when in Oregon he won 146 plus. So, I mean, he's in good form. He's in really good form. He's taken a couple of months off from his work as a doctor. He had been based in Galway, and he'd been still making the effort to train, to travel to Dublin to train. So we're very, very excited about his attitude and about the way he's taken it on board, because being a young doctor in a hospital is a very, very, very tedious and tiring situation to be in. So fair play to him. So he's in Watford. And then we have the next generation of Donegal young athletes going to Antrim for the Ulster 14 to 19 championships. And no doubt, as was the case with the Irish schools last weekend, there'll be many, many, many Donegal athletes coming through there.
Okay, we look forward to the weekend. Thanks for joining us, Patsy.
All the best, Roger.
And in cricket, it's going to be a busy weekend in Brady. Hopefully they'll get the weather for it, because they're hosting the T20 Interprovincial Festival this weekend. The Northwest Warriors will start the competition, involved in the opening game against the Northern Knights tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And the second game on day one, Friday, is the Munster Reds against the Leinster Lightning. There is, of course, other matches to be played on Saturday and Sunday. There's also full programme of league games, the 40-over league matches to be played in both Group A and Group B in North West Cricket on Saturday afternoon as well. Now, the 2022 Donegal International Rally is just around the corner, with drivers and crews excited to be returning to the county after a three-year absence. This year's event marks the 50th anniversary of the first Donegal Rally in 1972. Since then, there's been 64 winners of the international and national rallies combined. Among them, Kildare-based driver Gareth McKeel, who, just like his father Austin, is a two-time winner in Donegal, having taken the titles in 2009 and 2010. And there's Scotland's David Bogie, who's a two-time winner of the National Rally, which was introduced in Donegal in 2003. I've been speaking to both of those drivers this week. First up, David Bogie on his return to the county. David, delighted to see you and delighted to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Listen, you have a bit of unfinished business with Donegal. It's been a while since we had a rally here. We have to go back to 2019. You went off the road in Knockallagh, so you did. So you have a bit of unfinished business here in the county?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, you know, since we spun off and hit the wall in Knockallagh, you know, I've been counting down the days to get back to Donegal. So, yeah, unfinished business and, you know, still kicking myself. It was, you know, my own mistake in 2019. And yeah, it'd be great to go back and have a nice clean run next weekend.
Okay, I'll not bring it up in the rest of the interview again, David. But listen, we're celebrating 50 years here in Donegal of the International Rally. Maybe you might be able to tell us if you think back to when you first heard of Donegal and when you first came to the county for the rally, David.
Yeah, I think I've heard about it for years and years. You know, the Donegal name, it speaks for itself. So, you know, my first visit was back in 2007 when I went across as a spectator to watch the rally when Sebastian Loeb was doing it in the Citroën World Rally car. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say since then, you know, the bug had well and truly bit. And, yeah, I was determined to do the rally after that.
And obviously, of course, you have won on several occasions here, two-time winner of the now former National Rally, David.
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to lift the trophy two times now. On the first occasion, unfortunately, that the rally was cut short. And the second occasion, we managed to do all 3 days. So, yeah, it'd be fantastic to get a third modified win. But, you know, when you have a look at the entry list, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, we'll certainly need to be at our best to be fighting at the sharp end.
Yeah, what about the car this year? Obviously, it's the Escort. We've seen it here a number of years ago. Have you tinkered much with the car over the last couple of years? And what are you expecting out of the car come next weekend, David?
Yeah, the car's pretty much tried and tested, to be fair. You know, it's pretty much ready to go at this stage. So, for me, you know, it's just about getting back into rear-wheel drive and Irish tar. And, you know, as I say, we really have to be at our best. So, you know, we've done all the preparation now. So, yeah, we're just hoping to get a good clean up.
Yeah. Did you manage to tick any boxes of your prep last weekend in Tyrone, David?
Yeah, we did. You know, we experimented with some different tyres. And for me, you know, I've recently been driving a McGee Motorsport Mini World Rally car, which is obviously a right-hand drive and four-wheel drive. And I've been using that in gravel. So, you know, we made a couple of changes to the car, which was great, but, you know, more so it was about getting me back into the groove again. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't finish the rally, but, you know, we were, you know, feeling very comfortable in the car. So, you know, that bodes well for next weekend.
How different is the tarmac here in Donegal compared to obviously in Scotland and other rallies in the UK, David, that you would tackle?
It's class. It's class. You know, I love, you know, the Donegal tarmac, you know, very abrasive, you know, in June, where the weather's, you know, usually quite favourable and warm. So, yeah, I love the stages. Very different to, say, you know, a rally that would run, say, at the back end of the year in Scotland, which would be quite, you know, wet and difficult, you know. In Donegal in June, the grip levels are so high and, of course, the overall pace because of that is so much greater. So, yeah, it's a fantastic time of year.
Yeah, where would you rate the Donegal Rally? Because obviously you've taken on rallies in Europe and across the UK and further afield, David. So where does it sit with you?
For me, it's number one. It sits right at the top. You know, of course, we've got the Mull Rally in Scotland, which is absolutely fantastic and a very close second. But, you know, for me, Donegal, you know, it's got some fantastic memories from being across there, organisation, the atmosphere, the buzz, the stages, just everything. It just, for me, it ticks all the boxes. So, yeah, I think, you know, if I could do one rally, that would be the one.
Yeah. Stages, of course, here in Donegal on the Friday, they're going to be around the Newton Cunningham and the Shone area. Then on Saturday, we have a couple of the big classics, Fannad and Knockalla's in there on the Saturday, Garton, Atlantic Drive and High Glen on the Sunday. They're all big stages here, David, but what's the standout ones for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the iconic stages are all fantastic in their own right. You know, Knockalla, fantastic stage, you know, the high speed, you know, section to begin with the stage, it's incredible. So, yeah, Knockalla is great, you know, but as I say, they all offer something. And as you say, I think the Friday stages, you know, particularly this year, are going to be tricky. And, you know, for us, it's important that we get a clean Friday and we're, you know, there or thereabouts. We don't want to fall too back out of the races. But at the same time, we need to be in kind of striking distance. So, a clean Friday is, you know, what I'm looking for at this stage.
Yeah. What's your week like in Donegal? Would you do the wreck of the weekend before? Do you arrive in the county maybe early off rally week to get your preparations, I suppose, organised and finished with before Friday? How does it work for you, David?
Yeah, we go across on the Monday afternoon, with accommodation from the Monday to the Monday. So, yeah, across on the Monday afternoon, we'll recce Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then, of course, rally Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, it's a big week. It's a hard week, but, you know, at the same time, it's an enjoyable week. As the week goes on and you get closer to the rally start and the buzz intensifies, it makes for a special week.
What about the pace then? Do you have to be on it on the Friday or can you just navigate your way through the first day and see what happens then on the Saturday? Or is it on full throttle from the go?
Yeah, I think it'll have to be fair. When you see the entry this year, it's, you know, we can't fall too back out of the races on the Friday, as I say. But, you know, when you see the lineup of crews and equipment, you know, everybody's going to be ready for this. So, yeah, I think that the pace on the Friday, you know, especially, is going to be crazy. So, you know, I'd love to drive across the finish ramp at Mount Errigal on the Sunday. So, yeah, you need to keep it between the edges.
Yeah, it would be nice as well, just finally then, David, since we're marking the 50th anniversary of the International, that if you as the Scottish visitor would be crowned the modified champion.
Hey, it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? But I'm not going to get too excited. You know, it's, as I say, it's going to be a long, hard rally.
Yeah.
Hey, regardless, we'll be giving it our all, that's for sure. You know, we can guarantee that. And it's very much looking forward.
Listen, David, we look forward to seeing you back in Donegal next week. Thanks for talking to us.
Good man, thank you very much.
Well, as we continue our 50th anniversary Donegal International Rally preview, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man that has a very close connection to Donegal. His family has a very close connection to Donegal, two-time winner of the International, Gareth McKeel. Delighted to be speaking to you again, Gareth.
It's great to be speaking to you as well, Oisin. It's been a long time.
It sure has been a long time, and it's been a long time as well since you were in a rally car, Gareth.
It has indeed, Oisin, yeah. So the last time we really sort of had any sort of major assault or did a lot of rallies would have been back in 2010. So, we're out of it really for 12 years. We did two rallies in 2018 in the Fiesta. And, it's been a long time. We're back starting from scratch now again.
Yeah. Well, before we look at the rally next week and the car that you're in, maybe we'll recap, because as I said at the outset, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Donegal International Rally, and the McKeel family has a very long history here with Donegal.
Yeah, we do. Donegal obviously is the rally that's in the country. It's the best rally I feel that's in the country. And after my father Austin has won it twice and I've won it twice as well, we definitely have a close affiliation with the rally. And I'm looking forward to next weekend, and especially with it being the 50th anniversary of Donegal, I think it's going to be a great weekend. And really, when you see the entry list and that's there, you know, the best of the best is there. And we're just delighted to go up and compete in it. You know, the last thing I want to be doing now is sitting at home when it's the 50th anniversary of Donegal, that's for sure.
Yeah. What's your earliest memories of Donegal? Because obviously you were coming here when your father was competing and he was fighting at the front of the events. But you were only a young cub when you first started to come to Donegal, Gareth.
That's right, Oisin. I was. The first time I went up to Donegal was in 1990 when Dad was rallying the M3, the Extravision M3. And he actually won it that year there. He was against Bertie Fisher. So the two of them had the M3s. And that's my first memory of Donegal. And I remember going up, obviously, as always, it was a rally that we'd watched and wanted to go to. And, you know, even down through the years, I remember that I went, Mick Barrable was doing the gravel notes for Dad, and I'd be out doing the notes with Mick. And I remember going along the stages there, like Atlantic Drive, Knockalla, Fannett, and I just couldn't wait to get going on it myself, and the whole atmosphere, and coming back into the Mount Errigal Hotel there, and the traffic and the crowds and everything. It really is. It's a whole festival that's up there in Letterkenny, and it's a great, and it's always excitement there going up to Donegal every year. It's one that you really look forward to, you know.
Yeah. When did you first compete in Donegal, Gareth?
I first competed in Donegal back in 2000, and I think it was 2002 maybe, or 2003 in a Peugeot 206. We competed. That was the first year that we competed in Donegal, and then the next time then I was there would have been in 2006 in the Focus, and we finished third overall there behind Andrew Nesbitt and Mark Higgins, and that was a great year, 2006. You know, there was everybody was there, and the competition was great, and the weather was brilliant, and we were delighted to get third overall there that year.
Yeah, but what was it like to win it for the first time in 2009?
Well, to be honest, it's probably the fondest memory I have there of rallying and all the rallying that I've done. You know, to compete in Donegal, and first of all to get around the 3 days, it's very, very difficult, as you know, and the stages are so demanding, and there's no feeling like coming off Atlantic Drive at the end there and realizing that we've after winning it and what we've achieved. And it really was real special. And I can tell you that the drive back into the Mount Errigal there was emotional, yeah.
Yeah, well, Ben, you obviously won it twice in 2010. You had a great battle with Tim McNulty that year, but unfortunately that was one of the years that the event was cut short. But that was a big year for you, Gareth, because that was the year that you won the championship.
Yeah, no, that was 2010. We were able to get the championship in 2010. And yes, as you say, unfortunately there, it was cut short there with the tragedy there that happened there with the poor young co-driver there in Knockalla. But listen, that was a great year there to get the championship. We were trying it there from 2008, and it's a hard thing to win, so we were delighted to get it. And we sort of, after Donegal, we had it wrapped up there. Once we had the win in Donegal, we was able to wrap up the championship, so it made it more special as well.
Yeah. What's your favourite stage in Donegal? Listen, we asked the same question to every driver and navigator and competitor we're speaking to, and there's a lot of different answers to it, and some have multi-answers because they can't pick the actual favourite. But what's yours, Gareth? What's the standout one for you?
Well, Sheena, I'd say probably my favourite stage in Donegal is Portlaoise. You know, I think it's a real demanding stage. You have everything in it. There's technical, tight, and there's also fast sections in it there. And really enjoyed driving and the stages in Portlaoise. I also, I'd like Atlantic Drive and Fannett. It's very hard to pick, Oisín, you know, because they're all just classic. You know, you look forward to, you know, when you're starting at, when you're sitting on the start line in Knockalla and you're looking up the hill there, and the butterflies are in the stomach, like there's no feeling like it, you know, when you're going up over the hill. But I have to say Portlaoise, yeah, I really, really enjoy driving in Portlaoise.
So then, 2022, Gareth, next weekend here in Donegal. Tell us about this polo that you're sitting in. Obviously, it's that we've got the new rules which allows right-hand drive to R5 cars, and you're back in the rally seat again.
Yeah, well, obviously that was a major decision there when we found out that they were going to put in the right-hand drives in the internationals. It gave us sort of the boost to go and start looking and to try and get back into rallying and into the championships. And we were able to go and have a look at a polo, and we were able to do a deal with it, and we got the cars, and myself and Aaron, and very, very happy to car. We did two rallies last weekend. We did Tyrone, but there was a slight problem with the car, so we only really got a stage and a half. And then on Sunday, then we did Limerick, and very, very happy with it. You know, it's completely different to the World Rally Car Focus that we rallied before. I suppose, really, to put it in a nutshell, it's more like a racing car than a rally car, as in it's so nimble, and the speed that it can carry through the corners, and that is phenomenal, you know. And it's probably been out of rallying for so long, Oisín, it's going to take a while to get the head back up to speed and to sort of, you know, to get it, to try and get the max of what I can out of the car. You know, there's obviously an awful lot more left in it. And really, really enjoying it. And as I said, the buzz is back and the drug is back in the veins now after doing the rally laps again. They can't wait now for Donegal. You know, it's going to be a great weekend, hopefully.
Yeah, and you've Brian Murphy sitting alongside you again, your old partner in crime and a man that won it, of course, with your father as well. Does he still have the bite for it, does he?
Oh, he has indeed, there's no bother with Brian. Yeah, no, it was great that Brian came on board, was there for these few rallies, and, you know, I wouldn't really want anybody else sitting beside me. There's so much trust there that's between the two of us, and, you know, and he's a close family friend, and a lot of respect for Brian, and it's great that he's there. And as I say, it's hard to beat the experience as well on the Navigator, you know, because it really is. It's a 50-50 job inside in the car, and it's so important there to have somebody there that you can rely on. And Brian's great. And as you said, we won the championship together. We won two Donegals together, and won all my internationals with Brian. So, it's great to have Brian back.
Aaron's doing it as well. You guys are in these polos, right-hand drive. You two were very competitive as young cubs. You were growing up and through your days rallying together. is that competitive age there? It's going to be there next weekend again between the two of you, is it?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, you know, we're competitive probably in everything we do. You know, what you call it, we work together. We sort of rally together, socialize together. We're very close, which is good. And but when it comes down, when the flag drops, that's it. You know, you want to get one over on the other one. So it'll be a hell for leather anyway. That's for sure from Friday morning.
Yeah. And bragging rights at work the following week.
You can say that. Yeah.
Just finally then, Gareth, what do you want to achieve next weekend and the pool? What do you want out of Donegal?
Well, I suppose where I am now at the minute there, Oisin, we're still sort of on the learning curve. You know, we are out of the car and out of the scene for so long. So I can get around the 3 days, you know, get 3 days seat time in the new car. It'll stand to me hopefully in the future. So that's sort of my aim there at the minute for these couple of rallies, is to try and get back in and get the head up to speed and get used to the driving again. And if I can get around the 3 days and I have a mark in the car and everything go well, I'll be very happy on Sunday.
Gareth, delighted to get back speaking to you again. It's been a long time, and I'm sure we'll be speaking next weekend during the rally. The best of luck on your return in Donegal.
Thanks a million, Oisin. Appreciate that. Thank you.
And that's Gareth McKeel. And before that, David Bogie in the latest to offer previews of the Donegal International Rally. We'll have another preview of the big event. Join us for a rally special this coming Saturday after 5 o'clock here on Highland. Just finally, one notice on the sports board before we leave you. The Letterkenny Gaels 5K Road Race and Family Fun Run is taking place tomorrow evening, Friday at 7:30. Registration is at the clubhouse. It opens at 5:30. There's chip timing in place. More details are available on the Letterkenny Gaels Facebook page. And that's it for another edition of The Score. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it, of course, you can recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next sport is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, so what's left of your Thursday. Have a good one. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.